Welcome to the Episcopal Church of the Redeemer's Sermon Podcast.
The readings appointed for this sermon are from the book of Numbers, chapter 21, verse 4 through 9, Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 1 through 10, the Gospel according to John, chapter 3, verse 14 through 21, and Psalm 107, verse 1 through 3, and 17 through 22.
God, grant us serenity to accept the things that we cannot change, courage to change the things that we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Okay, so I was watching this parenting video earlier this week. I know. Because I'm just, like, my wife and I are we're very inconsistently trying to figure out how to be less disasters of parents. And so she'll send me these videos, and then half the time I'll watch them, and then we'll see what happens. But there's this video that we were watching where this parent teacher was teaching us about when our kids come at us with all sorts of, like, anger or frustration, and a kid is yelling or whatever is coming at us with, like, I don't want to do that, or you can't make me, or one of those, you know, we call them now big feelings, right? Right? Big feelings. Okay, right? Which, by the way, just for the record, kids are not the only ones with those. Just FYI. But how when they come at us with this big feeling, it's like they're throwing a big ball of emotion at us. And this parenting teacher says that oftentimes parents, what our instinct is to take that big ball of feelings and throw it right back at them. How dare you speak to me that way? Do you know who I am? I am your father. Which goes well 0% of the time. But when the kid is, we might call it acting up or misbehaving or throwing some kind of anger or whatever at us, it is oftentimes our primary instinct to take that same energy and throw it back at them. Remind them who's top dog. Remind them who's who and what's what and the order of business in this house and who's in charge. I experienced that growing up. There was a very big emphasis on me being a good boy, which was defined by how I acted in front of my parents. Not a bad boy, right? Well, anyway, this parent teacher, this person who was teaching us how to parent, said, if you could just recognize for a moment that your kid has all these big feelings and that they actually are giving them to you because you're a person that they feel safe giving them to. And if you could just hold that ball and instead of throwing it right back at them, maybe just put it down and then address them as the humans that they are and acknowledge that you're dealing with someone who has all these big feelings and they're throwing them at you because you're the safe one to throw them at. Now, listen, whether or not you ever had kids, whether or not you ever will have kids, you don't need to have kids to get this. This is not just about children, although it is an important lesson to remind us that children are humans, not potential humans or humans of the future, but humans with their own humanity. We forget that sometimes. But I want to just say we also forget that about adults. We forget that in general about in people with whom we interact. People come at us, and we're not really sure where they're coming from. And sometimes our first instinct is to take whatever energies come that thrown our way and throw it right back. Someone wants to come at you with some kind of anger or argument, you're going to knock them down. This is the way of our world, friends. This is the way we think. Whenever you come with me in my way, I'm going to throw right back at you. You know who I'm going to treat right? The people who treat me right. And I define how I'm treated as right. If you come at me one way, I'm going to come right back at you and give it twice as hard. This is the way of the world. I would also argue that this way of dealing with something coming our way that we don't quite understand what that energy is, I want to suggest that this is actually a way that we experience our relationship with God. Because, friends, we do not quite understand God and what God's doing and how God's doing it. God is mysterious and confusing and uncertain to us in so many ways. And so when we interact with God, we come into that conversation, into that situation, not really knowing what we're dealing with, right? Is this God that's coming my way, is this God coming my way with anger and wrath? Is this God coming my way in some sort of furious puff of emotion? Is this God coming at me, judging me, and here to tell me all the things that are wrong with me? We enter in to our inner relationship with God much the same way we enter into our relationship with children or with each other, which is we're not really sure where that person's coming from. And it puts us kind of on our guard, yeah? This is why the gospel reading today, one that you've seen plastered on billboards and on signs at football stadiums, John 3:16, right? This is why this reading is actually so essential for us, because it orients the very action of God that we experience in Jesus Christ. It orients it in the truth of love. That verse you know so well, you know it off the top of your head, but it's one of those things that we can forget how powerful it is. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. And everything that comes after flows through that reality. We are in a love relationship with the one who made us. And we don't always understand what God's doing or how God's coming at us or what it's about. And so we will be skeptical and we will be ready to fight or to throw whatever energy we get back at him. But we forget sometimes that the entirety of our interaction with God is enveloped in the love for which all of us are made. That the God who made you is love. And the story we tell every single week, every single day, if you pay attention to the readings throughout the week, every single moment, the Christian story is the primary reality of our lives, is that God loves us. That we are made out of an abundance of that love, that we were made from love and for love. And in the text today, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This love that God has is so powerful that God is willing to sacrifice even himself for us. Jesus, we proclaim Jesus as God, which means that it's not just that God sends someone else to die on our behalf. God sends God's very self. God's love for us is sacrificial. God's love for us is self-giving. God's love for us is endless and transformative. Bless you. And God's love for us is the thing that envelops our entire reality. So when your kid's coming at you and you're not sure what to do, or someone else, other person's coming at you, you want, like, why are they coming at me? What is this energy? What is going on? What do I do with this? That parenting teacher reminds us that, again, that your kid feels safe because the relationship is a love relationship. Can we just start in our interactions with God to recognize that primarily it's a love relationship and all of the other things that happen flow through that reality? If we could just get that down, friends, we'd be in a different place, because I'm telling you, we are on our guard with God. And you know we're on our guard with God because in the very next section where he talks about judgment, we go, what about the judgment part, Phil? Come on. We're all still waiting for the other shoe to drop about how we're all going to hell, right? Unless we act and believe and do exactly the right thing. Let's talk about judgment for a second, because it's worth our time. I took this class in seminary. I had to learn Hebrew. We practiced and studied Hebrew, which, of course, I remember like three words. I'm doing really good with that. But our Hebrew teacher, who's phenomenal, she actually came and led one of our Bible studies via Zoom earlier this year, and she's fantastic. But she gave us a quiz every single day. 4 days a week, a quiz. Do you know how obnoxious that is? Well, can you imagine like more of a nightmare than every single time you show up to class there's a quiz? Which, by the way, we had no problem telling her. There is nothing more bellyachy than a bunch of grad students, okay? And especially seminarians, because we think we're like, but we're just going to be priests. Why are you making it so hard? It's true. It's real. And her point was really fantastic, right? She was like, look, there's a quiz every day. which means you have to study for it. But also there's a quiz every day. So like, you're going to get a bunch of these wrong. And guess what? Tomorrow happens. And there's another quiz, right? There's judgment in that. There's judgment not in the like, I want to see if this makes sense for you, friends. There's judgment, but not in the judgy way. I know, it's weird. But like, there's an acknowledgement that we can get things right or get things wrong. But also, that's not the beginning and ending of our story. Oh, did you get some things wrong today? Okay, well, tomorrow we'll try it again. We're not going to go into this thing that because God loves us so much, there's no such thing as we couldn't possibly do anything wrong. We do a lot wrong. That's why we have Lent, to remember. We do a lot wrong. There is evil in this world, and sometimes we participate in it and we're complicit in it. And there is good in this world, and sometimes we choose the good, choose the love, choose the right path. The Jesus of John's gospel points out that judgment day is not some day far out in the future. Judgment day is today and tomorrow and the next day. Every day you have the opportunity to live in response to the love for which you were made or not. Every day, you have the choice to recognize God's presence and love and power in your life or not. Every day when someone throws that ball of emotion and feeling and all sorts of things at you, you have the opportunity to put it down carefully and then deal with the person in front of you in love, or you have the possibility to throw that ball back. The judgment that Jesus makes is the recognition that we make choices between love and hate every day. That we make the choice to recognize God's beauty and brilliance in this world, God's beauty and brilliance in the person right in front of us. What Jesus is saying is, when I see you as human, as beloved, as made by God, and I enter into relationship with you in love, I get what God's about. The judgment is good. And when I look at you as an obstacle, or as a person who needs to be put in their place, or as something that gets in my way and needs to be taught a lesson, when I look at you as less than me, the judgment is evil. The judgment is that I am not able to see you as God has made you. All of this judgment and all of our steps and missteps and all of our decisions and all of our trying and succeeding and trying and failing, friends, all of it is enveloped in the love for which we are made. The love is the truest thing about us. The love for which we are made is the most powerful and honest and truest, most authentic reality of our entire lives. So as we move forward in our relationship with God, in our relationship with each other, every day is judgment day. Every day. Which means if you screw it up today, tomorrow's judgment day too. And tomorrow's another opportunity for you to recognize God's power and love. Tomorrow's another opportunity for you to love the person right in front of you, not for who you want them to be, but for who they actually are. Tomorrow is another opportunity, and today is another opportunity, and tomorrow and the day after that, these are every day is an opportunity for us to see God, and to love God in this world, in ourselves, and the people right in front of us. God is there. May we see and know and love. And may we allow ourselves to be loved by that God. This is the work of our lifetime. In Jesus' name.